वर्स नंबर 32 एवं बहुविधा यज्ञः वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्म जान विधितान सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। Now together, एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। So evam, so in this way, Bhagavan is summarizing, bahuvidha yajnaha, many different types of yajna I have talked to you about. And what do they, what happens with them? He says, vitata, they are spread out, brahmano mukhe, at the mouth of Brahman. So these yajnas are spread out at the mouth of Brahman. Brahman is the highest reality. And these yajnas are karmajan, they are born out of karma. So doing yajnas will not take you to the highest knowledge, but will prepare you for the knowledge, highest knowledge. So karmajan vidhi, so know all these yajnas to be of karma. Tan sarvan, all of these yajnas are related to karma. But evam nyatva, having known this yajna and then having getting the highest knowledge, we mokshyase. Mokshyase means you will get liberated. We mokshyase means you will get totally liberated. That's what Bhagavan is assuring us, that practicing these yajnas, you will reach up to the mouth of Brahman, up to that. And these, having performed these karmas in the right attitude and having understood why am I performing these actions, you will be free from all bondages. So this, there's a lot of technical words in this particular shloka. That's why I would encourage you at the end to take a picture of these. So if that way, if you want to revise this, because there's a lot of technical material in this particular shloka. So first word is brahmano mukhe, in the mouth of Brahman. Yajna we have already talked about, the different kinds of yajnas in the previous verses. So what do we mean by mouth of Brahman? So Brahman is the totality, the total reality. So when we say mouth, what it means is it will bring you face to face to this knowledge. It will bring you face to face. That means you can see what is this knowledge. And ultimately, of course, Brahman is not somebody, even though in the Puranas they say he meditated for so many years and Bhagwan Vishnu appeared or Shivji appeared or Brahmaji appeared and he said, ask what you want. But in reality, realization is understanding that, experiencing the oneness, that Brahman alone is everywhere, and that Brahman is me, is my true nature. So understanding that, my higher nature. So when he says brahmano mukhe, means it will bring you close to this knowledge that I am Brahman. Another meaning which is given in this shlokas by Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda is brahmano mukhe means what came out of the mouth of Brahman. What came out of the mouth of God, and they say it is the Vedas, because the Vedas are said to be Shruti, are said to be heard, not written. But like the Ramayana was written by Valmiki ji, or you know, Mahabharata was written by Vedvyas ji, and so on. So they are called Smritis, or even the Bhagavad Gita is said to be a Smriti because it is told by Bhagavan Sri Krishna to Arjuna. But the Vedas are said to be Shruti because they were heard by the Rishis. When the rishis were in their deep meditation, they heard the words of the Upanishads. They heard the word of all the four Vedas, and these words, when they heard, their clarity was so profound that they memorized that, just having heard it from the eye. So it was like in the total consciousness, the sounds were vibrating. These mantras or these shlokas were vibrating. And in their silence of the meditation, they heard them and they remembered what they had heard, and they then transferred it to their student. So Guru Shishya Parampara, then the student memorized it from his teacher, and thousands of verses these people could memorize. They had such, because in those days life was simple, so they could memorize all these verses, and then they would pass on to their student, and then student to teacher, student, on and on it would go. But then later on, of course, Ved Vyasji came and he organized them, he systematized them, he wrote them, because he realized that life is getting too busy and people are not going to be able to memorize thousands of shlokas. You know, if somebody tells us even to memorize one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we say, oh, it's so hard. One whole chapter? One whole chapter is nothing. 40 verses or 50 verses. These people used to memorize thousands of verses, and clearly and with the right sequence. So the Ved Vyasji knew that in the modern life, people are not going to bother to memorize. So he said, write it down for these people because they are not going to learn. So when they say Mauta Brahman, it means the Vedas, the Upanishads, all the Brahmanas and all the mantras, all the four Vedas, Rig, Sam, Yajur and Atharva Ved, which came down from the Lord himself. So when they say Karma Jan, what it means is right action, doing the right thing with the right means. So these karmas, whether you do charity, whether you do self-control, whether you do, you know, controlling the mind or whatever you're doing, they are the means, they are not the goal, they are not the end, but they will take us to the goal. It's like I-5 is not Los Angeles, but when you drive on I-5, you will reach Los Angeles. So even these books, even these scriptures are all like the I-5, but they are like the GPS on I-5, that when I'm driving, the GPS will tell me, okay, now you have reached here, now take this exit, and then make a left turn, right turn, 100, you know, yards from now and all that. So similarly, these scriptures guide us to the highest truth, where we discover the truth within. But the right means and the right action is very important. If I don't do the right action, as we have talked many times, I will get bound if I do action selfishly for myself. And what am I going to get out of it? Looking out for number one. You know, we have all these famous lines. Then my life will be a life of selfishness, a life of, you know, just a material life, as they call it, materialistic life. You know, there's a song, I'm a material girl and everything. So the point is that if that's how we are going to live our life with the material means, then you'll get bound. You know, I want more things, and without things, I'm unhappy. The more I get, the more I want. The more greed I have, the more selfishness I have. The more I become hateful to others, I become jealous. So if you want to be liberated, freed from all these selfish tendencies, you have to have the right knowledge. You have to share what you have. And as we had talked last week, you can share material goods, you can share a kind word, if you know, of love, you can share knowledge. That's why sharing of the Bhagavad Gita is called Gyan Yajna. That's what Gurudev, I remember listening to him in the 60s when I was growing up in India. And the title of his TED Talks used to be Gita Gyan Yajna. So what he means is that I'm sharing this knowledge with all of you so that you can sacrifice your ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So why is it a yajna? Because the words coming out of Gurudev's mouth were like the fire of wisdom in which you can sacrifice your ignorance. So how do I get free from my selfishness? By the right knowledge. But for that, you need the right means of knowledge. And what is the right means of knowledge is the Vedas. Because see, anything you want to know about the world, in the Vedas there are three portions, the mantras and then the upasanas, aranyakas, and then the Upanishads. So the first two portions deal with nature and deal with prayers, where I offer prayers to the Lord and where I do the right thing and all. And so right action and right dharma is covered in the first two portions. But if you want to know something which is atindriya, indriya means the sense organs, that which is beyond the sense organs, like if I want to know that if I put my hand in fire, will it burn or not? Do I need to read the Vedas for that? No. If I want to know what is the price of this house, if I go to buy, I don't need to read the Upanishads. If I want to know how much salary will I get from this job, that is pratyaksha pramana, that you go and, you know, you talk to your boss, or the price of the house, you look at the, talk to the realtor. So for those kind of knowledge, you do not need to read the Upanishads. You do not, that is available. Like if I want to study about history, am I going to open the Wall Street Journal? No, Wall Street Journal is for finance. If I want to know what's happening with the stocks, I open the Wall Street Journal. I cannot say, I read this article in the Wall Street Journal and that's why I can practice medicine. No, for medicine, you have to open the New England Journal of Medicine. So you have to have the right book and the right source of information to get the right knowledge. You cannot open a history book and learn how to cook. For that, you have to go to a culinary expert. So, for the highest knowledge, you have to go to the Upanishads. And there are two portions, dharma, which is, as we said, in the first two portions of the Upanishads, of the Vedas, it is dharma, and then it is jnana. And karma and jnana has to go together. Like I get knowledge of how to start a business. I do all the research, I get all the knowledge. That is jnana. But then I have to go out and raise money, then I have to invest that and make a building, and then I have to hire the staff, and then I have to... So action has to accompany knowledge. I first have to have the right knowledge, and then I have to have the right action. And when there is a dispute between the Vedas and anything else, the Vedas are supreme, the Upanishads are supreme. There was a famous saint, his name was Karapatra, Karapatraji. Why did he get this name? It's very interesting. Patra means the plate, you know, and when people go to beg, they would have a begging bowl, or they would have a little like a patra, you know, or even a leaf. And they would go to every home and, you know, beg whatever they could, and then the housewife would offer. That is part of our duty to support the sannyasis. And so when once that bowl was filled, or once that plate was filled, then they were not supposed to beg. And whatever they got, one day, that was alone, that on all day, one time they would eat and whatever could fit in that bowl. Now his patra was his hands. Whatever fits in my hand, that's all I'm going to eat. After once his hands were full, he never went to another house. He never ate anything more. He said, this much is good for me for today. So that's why his name became Karapatra, means one whose hands are his begging bowl. And he was a great Vidwan, very wise person. And he says one place, he says, even if the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, something is said in the Upanishads, and the Bhagavad Gita seems to contradict it, take the Upanishads. That how high, even though of course the Bhagavad Gita is said by the Lord himself. So the point is that when there is a dispute between the Puranas and the Vedas, so the importance of the right knowledge is emphasized in here. And as we said, Vedas will not tell us what is pratyaksha, what I can see with my eyes. It is what my eyes cannot see, what my mind cannot feel, what my intellect cannot understand, that knowledge because of which my body is able to function, my mind is able to feel, my intellect is able to think. That consciousness is what is known through the Vedas. And as we talked about, you need the right kind of text. As I said, you know, for medicine, you need a medical book. For history, you need a history book, and so on. Now, when we do actions, now this is a little, gets a little technical, so I'll try to explain. And this will show us how much our rishis, thousands of years ago, how beautiful their thinking was and how they were organized. So they said actions can only result in four results. Can everybody see this board? I hope you can. Prapyam, Utpadyam, Samskaryam, and Vikaryam. So these are Sanskrit words. So any action, any time, any place can only give either one of the four results. One is prapyam. Prapyam means comes from apya. Prapya means to get. So I don't have a laptop. So I go to the store and buy it. That is called prapyam. I don't have a car. I need a car. I need a new car. I go buy it. Utpadyam. Utpadyam is to create. Say I want to grow flowers in my garden. So what do? I go to the store, buy seeds, plant them, put fertilizer, water, and I create a new flower bed, you know, beautiful flowers. Or our ladies are very good where they will take different ingredients, dal, masala, and all that, and, you know, and create sambar. Or they will create dosa or create dhokla. You know, so I take different ingredients, combine them, heat them, steam them, and create something new. So out of 3, 4, 5 things combined, I create a brand new dish. So that is called Utpadyam, that is called creation. Then samskaryam is improving or purifying. So I have an old, you know, vase which is brass, and it becomes, after a while, it gets all, you know, discolored and becomes very stained. Why? It is old now. So what do? I get some, or I have silver, you know, silver, it happens a lot. After a while, silver becomes black. So then they have this silver polish, brasso. I remember in India they used to call it brasso. This brass polish where I rub it and then shine and it looks brand new. So what was dirty or unclean, when I clean it, improve it, because it's called samskaryam. Like a room is dirty, there's a lot of dirt, and or my yard is full of leaves and the gardener comes and blows all the leaves and picks up all the twigs and makes it clean. That is called samskaryam. And then the fourth one is vikaryam or modification. So modification is when I change something. Like a potter buys mud and then he makes it into a pot. Or goldsmith buys raw gold which is in bars, and then with the, you know, with the machine he will hit it, and he will, like they call it kutastha. Kutastha means that firm's anvil on which gold or iron or any metal is hit and then shaped into different forms. So from gold he got beautiful ornaments, or from mud you got pot. So that is called vikaryam. And ultimate vikaryam is vinasham or death. That is the ultimate modification. You know, we go through various modifications, childhood, then youth, then middle age, and then ultimately we are gone. So any action, anywhere, at any time, can only give these four results. Apyam, Utpadyam, Samskaryam, Vikaryam. Say you are driving to work. You say, well, which one of these? Why are you going to work? You say, well, I'm going to work because I work in a construction company. I'm going to make a building. So that is creation, Utpadyam. Or I work in a computer and I'm going to write a new program. That is Utpadyam. Or I am improving. These computers nowadays are very slow. There's a lot of viruses. And I want to make a program which cleans all the viruses and the computer is improved. So cleaning, that is samskaryam. Or I'm going to... So any action, anywhere, at any time will only give these four results. So that is clear, right? Can you think of any action? No, every action at any time will give these four results. But Atma, the self, the consciousness within, does it fall in these four categories? Can it be God. No, Atma is always there. This consciousness, Brahman, which is the all-pervading consciousness, was always there. So you cannot say, I got it. You can get life. You can get this body, mind, intellect. But the consciousness, which is enlivening, was always there. There was never a time when the consciousness was not there. So Atma, which in the universal is called Brahman, in the individual it is called Atma. But it is one Atma, which totally is called Brahman, and individually is called Atma. It's just a different name. So Atma here is represented by Om. So Atma cannot be obtained. Now, can you create it? That Atma was not there, I put some seed, and then Atma comes out as a... No, Atma cannot be created. Can you purify it? No. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa. I am. My Atma is eternal, is always pure. My body may become dirty, my thoughts may become pure, sullied, my mind may become impure, but the life or consciousness within me, that's why they say hate the sin, not the sinner. Because every one of us is eternally pure, is eternally full, complete, but it is our ignorance, our vasanas, which make me think I am this limited ego, and then I do all the actions. But in reality, we are all. So Atma cannot be modified, cannot be purified, cannot be changed. It is Nitya, it is eternal, and that is my true nature. So the point Bhagavan is telling us, that karmas can tell you about the world, but if you want to know who you are, you have to go to the Guru, you have to go to the Upanishads. And anything you do in the world is time-bound. That's why on the medicine also they have an expiration date, right? Date of manufacture, expiration date. The day we are born, our expiration date is already written. We may not know it. I do not know how long I'm going to live. And then there is somebody who say, Bichara, he was so young and why did he have to die? Because his prarabdha was over. For this life, his time. And another person is old, he's 90, 95, and he's in pain, and he says, I wish I would go. He doesn't go. Why? Because for this particular life, his prarabdha is not done yet, his or her prarabdha. So anything you create in this world is time-bound. Even the Titanic, they say, it is unsinkable. It will never sink, and they cannot be, and no other way. What happened? Time-bound, rock came, but thadak, niche chala. So the point is that anything you create in this world is time-bound. This earth is also time-bound. There will be a time when the sun, will run out of energy in a few billion years. Then the sun will become dark and everything on earth will become dark and earth will finish. And ultimately all will merge into this big black hole. That's what they say. The whole creation will end. So anything you do with karmas is time bound, but that consciousness is not time bound, the Atman, the Self, it is eternal. So what Bhagavan is trying to tell us, the difference between karma and jnana. Karma will give us action, will give us something, but knowing who I am will make us realize that I am eternal. In fact, in the second chapter itself, Bhagavan told us. He said, na jayate mriyate va kadachit. He says, all of these people you are seeing, they are all eternal. Their Atma is eternal and you or I cannot kill them because Atma is eternal. But yes, the body will perish, but the body is time bound anyway. Whoever is born is bound to go. So, tatraka paridevna, then why is it? So, the point is that this knowledge makes us fearless. That even death cannot scare me. Why? Because I never die. My body will go, so what? But we get so attached to the body, we get so attached to things and beings that we say, if I die, then I have to leave my near and dear ones and my house and my bank account and my gold jewelry. This is all bound to go anyway. Nobody can take it. Has anybody so far ever in life taken even a penny from here? No, but we spend all our life in acquiring material things. Acquire spiritual knowledge. acquire good karmas. That's the only thing will go with you. That's the only thing that is useful, that is important. Everything else yahi reh jayega. You know, your children and grand people, I remember in India, these saints used to live, you know, chai pee pee ke, they will have cup of tea and wear dhoti, and then they collected crores of rupees. And then what happens after they die, their children take the money and buy bungalows and drink and eat and women and all. They enjoy the money. They say, pichara, poor father, he worked so hard and never, you know, never spent the money, saved his whole life for what? So his children are, you know, doing all good and bad things. So the point is that keep busy in doing good. Act like our children, you know, we tell them. We tell, keep them busy, you know, especially here, Indian parents. They'll put their children in, you know, piano, and then in mock trial, and then put them in soccer, and put them 3, 4, 5 activities. Why? So that after school, they should be busy. They shouldn't be doing wrong things. You know, the Indian parents are very good about it. So the poor child has no time to do anything bad because his whole day is structured. So similarly, they say, keep yourself busy in doing the right actions until when? Until you are ready for knowledge. Where then, once you have done the right actions, then you approach your guru. So until then, keep your mind busy in doing good actions. And we'll continue here. So it says, you should have viveka. What is nitya and what is anitya? Tattva Bodh says that very beautifully. Nitya and anitya. So anitya means temporary. So what is temporary and what is permanent? What is temporary is what I will, my actions will produce. But if I want permanent, then I have to go within. And I have to, only the scriptures and the guru can tell us. If I want temporary joy, yes, eating an ice cream, having a pizza, buying a new piece of jewelry, you know, going out and buying new golf clubs. They'll give me a new house, will give me temporary joy. But if I want permanent joy, you have to find within. So have the viveka. What is nitya? What is anitya? What is temporary? What is permanent? Now comes one more technicality. Sorry, this particular verse has so much technicalities. I'll try my best to explain it to the best of my ability. So it says, there are two kinds of logic, Purush Tantra and Vastu Tantra. So what is Purush Tantra and what is Vastu Tantra? Because that is very important to know what is action and what is jnana, knowledge. So what is Purush Tantra? Say I decide that I'm going to build a 7-bedroom house. Now that's in my choice, right? I can build a 2-bedroom house or I can build a 7-bedroom house. It depends on my ability, on my how much money I have, and what is my need, how big a family I have. So it, my choice is mine. Nobody will tell me, oh, you should do this. Now I start building a 7-bedroom house. And suddenly the economy goes sour, and then I'm not sure if I'll have a job or not. And then I say, you know, 7-bedroom is too much. I tell the builder, you know, cut it down, make it 5-bedroom, because 7-bedroom will be hard to sell. You know, market is not very good these days. There's no, especially in Bakersfield, there's no appreciation. So cut it down from 7 to 5-bedroom. Now, who decided? I decided, right? So that is Purush Tantra. So the Indian Purush does not only mean man, means man or woman. So man or woman decides what I like, whether to come to this class or not. It was Purush Tantra, right? We made this choice. Now, after having come to this class, whether I sleep or not, that also is Purush Tantra, right? I choose whether I want to listen or I want to sleep. So anything I do in this world, I make the choice. Whether I do this, or whether what kind of career I apply, what kind of person I marry, how many children I should have, what should I teach my children, what should they become, all that becomes Purush Tantra. Now what is Vastu Tantra? Vastu Tantra is you don't have a choice. you know it, like what is fire? Fire says, I am hot and I am light. Now you say, I don't want fire to be hot. I choose that fire is cold. You can't do that. You put your hand in the fire, it will. So there you know it as it is. You don't have a choice. The nature of fire, or like history, you say, I want to decide what Akbar did, you know, whatever, 500 or 700. You can't decide what Akbar did. History is already history. It's already happened. And Akbar decided what he wanted to do. You do not have a choice in history or in geography. Like, you know, we say, okay, Europe is east of us and Hawaii is to the west. You say, no, I don't, I want to change it. Europe will be to the west. No, history, geography. So similarly, knowing this Atma or this consciousness or the self is knowing that I do not get to choose. Yes, like God, I do not get to decide. Of course, God has taken different forms. You can take the form of Krishna or Ram or Shiva or Jesus or, you know, all those, you can call them, you know, whatever names or forms. But actually, there is only one consciousness who has taken different forms. So I cannot say I want to know Atma as I interpret. Atma or consciousness or God is as it is. All I do is know it. I cannot interpret it. I cannot change it. So the Upanishads tell us what the knowledge is of Brahman. I do not get to choose. Yes, how I practice, I can get to choose whether I do the path of service or the path of bhakti or the path of knowledge. But ultimately, the goal reached by all of them, that's why he says Brahmano Mukhe, all of these yajnas will take you to that one goal. So whether I do service, whether I love God, whether I know God, everything will take us to the highest. And karmas can only give us temporary result. If you want permanent result, you have to have knowledge. You have to have. But now we are talking and we are listening and we are thinking. Is that not karma? That is also karma, right? We are sitting and talking, we are listening, we are discussing. But that karma is essential for knowledge. That's why, you know, we have this commentary by Swamiji, so that we can listen to this commentary, we can read this commentary, and then ultimately get this knowledge within. So that's what they say, khojo main turat mile hu palbar ki talash mein, main to sab saanso ki saans mein. You know, Kabir Das Ji says, moko kahan, I am not in the temple, I am not in the mosque, but I am in your heart. So what they say is develop Brahma Jignyasa. That means a desire for Brahman. They say, no, you should give up all other desires. But the desire for Brahman is very important, because that desire will remove all other desires. Once you have that desire that this is what I want, then every other desire will become secondary to that. And Athato Brahma Jignyasa, in the Brahma Sutra, the first sutra is that you have to have this desire to reach this highest, then every other desire becomes secondary to that. And Atma, we said, is not a product, cannot be created, but it is me. And the question is, whom do I identify with? Say I identify with the Indian cricket team. You know, I want to know about cricket. So what do I do? I get the cricket channel on the ZTV or whatever TV. And then I constantly watch where the Indian team is playing, who are the players. And the Indian team wins. Now they won in Australia. I get very happy. And when they lose, I get sad. Or if I identify with a rock star, then I want to know what music he is composing, where he is performing, and I go and buy tickets and watch. But if I have no interest in rock star, then how does it matter whether he's performing in Boston or in Bakersfield or in LA? I have no interest. Same with Indian cricket team. If somebody is interested in cricket, he will follow. Somebody who is not, he say, okay, let them keep playing. You know, it's fine. So similarly, what do I identify with? When I identify that I am that consciousness, then I will work to that. If I think I am this body, mind and intellect, then all I will do my whole life taking care of the body, taking care of these. So identify with the right thing, know that you are that consciousness, and that can only happen by studying the Upanishads, and then alone you will reach the highest. So that's what Bhagwan says, that these yajnas are very important, living a life of self-control, moderation, getting the right knowledge, ultimately will take you face to face with Brahman, with Brahmanom, okay? And knowing this, you will be free. So do the right karmas and know the knowledge as it is, not as I interpret. So whatever that is written in the scriptures, you have to know it as it is and have the right means of knowledge, right kind of text, then and then alone growth will happen. I'm sorry, this is a little difficult verse. I tried my best to explain, but it's very important to understand the technicalities of this particular verse. So I hope I didn't make it too difficult. I hope you all come back next Sunday. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of Sanskrit. Yes.
So after having desire to know the Brahman, you still have to act.
Yes.
That means you have to, and that action is not going to take you according to your
right.
So Nana will take you, but you still need a support of
Sanskrit. Yes, yes. That we'll cover in the next week. Next, Bhagwan has answered that question. But what, in brief, I can answer, that a person who, knowing that, becomes Purnam, he becomes complete, then he does not work for happiness, he works out of happiness. So such a person, then like Bhagwan Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Name Parthasthi Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu, I have nothing to achieve, but why am I working? Loka Sangraha Mevapi. Bhagwan Shri. So such a person then becomes a Mahapurush, becomes a saint, becomes God on earth, where he works for others, not for himself, to share this knowledge. He is somebody like Gurudev, who having attained this highest knowledge, still worked. In fact, from 1950, when he came down, till 1993, he did not rest for a single day. He did not say, today is my day off, I'm not going to do anything. Every day, even when his heart was only working 15% left ventricular ejection fraction, he still traveled throughout the world giving talks, never stopped. Why? Because he said, if I rest, I rust. This was his famous line. So he works, but then he works for the benefit of us. But that's a very good question. Thank you. We'll be discussing in more detail next week. Exactly, this exact answer to Sujata's question we have. Anything else?
Can you repeat the 12 yajnas, please? I think I missed the last one.
Oh, actually, they are in this in the chapter 4. They're pretty long, but I can just summarize them. So, first yajna is Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi in the verse number 24, where Brahman is everything, the offering. Then Deva is the offering of the senses. Brahmagnau means all the senses are offered in the fire of Brahman. Shrotradri Indriyan Anye, so ears, eyes, etc. The senses are offered. And then in the fire of self-control. And then the Shabdadi means the sense organs and organs of action are all offered in the fire of Brahman. And then even the pranas, even the breathing in and out is done with self-control. Atma samyag agnau. And then dravya. Dravya means sharing all material possessions. Then tapa. Tapa means austerities are done for the higher. Yoga yajna means offering to the higher. Swadhyaya, study, self-study. And jnana is listening to the teacher. They are all offered by people of self-control, and then prana and apana, intake and excretion. And then ahara, the intake is self-control. So all this are done, yajna kshapita kalmasha. So all the sins are destroyed by a person who follows these 12 yajnas. But please read verse number 24 to 30. list these six yajnas, these 12 yajnas in these seven verses, and then please read the commentary by Gurudev, or you can listen to the talks in firstpower.info. Tony is the one who puts it there, if you want to listen the past few weeks. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Hari Om.